As we continue our journey through the Mass in the next couple of weeks and today, and I'm coming down here to get a prop, after the last Mass, I'm going to share in a minute my account when the first time I came to Little Flower and experienced the Mass. This gentleman came up to me after the last Mass, and he's quite the baseball fan, okay? And he was sharing with me, he's a convert, and he said, "Well, Deacon, my experience wasn't quite like yours." And I remember now, he's a great baseball fan. And he said, just before we read the gospel, when we all do this little number on us, he says, "I wonder what bunt sign they're giving now, you know." My first encounter with Mass was I was dating my wife Sally at the time, and she invited me to come to Mass at Little Flower, and Father Sharp was the pastor at that time. And when I came that day, at that point in time, the church faced this way, so the altar was down that way. And for those of us who are converts, our first Mass is usually kind of an interesting experience because you don't quite know all the logistics and things that go on. My pastor, as many of you know, is a former pastor for almost 25 years. And so here I am in the Mass that day, and it opens up, and away we go, and then the first person comes up behind the ambo and says, "A reading from..." Reading? What are we reading? And then I caught a glimpse, it was an Old Testament book. My background in my bachelor's and my master's is in scripture and theology, which I absolutely love to this day. And they begin to read from the Old Testament. And I knew the story, and I was familiar with it. I said, "Wow, this is incredible. Is this what the sermon's going to be today?" No. What happened? The music begins, and now we're singing. And we're singing one of the Psalms. And I'm going, "What? This is amazing." And you know, we respond back, and they sing the Psalm, and I'm excited. So up comes the next person. A reading from. It's a New Testament book. I know this book. I know this section. And they're reading this, and I'm just going, "Wow, this is amazing." And then all of a sudden, the guys do the craziest thing. You know, the pastor rises up out of his chair and the music begins and we sing hallelujah, you know, and then you know, the Lord be with you. And I'm like, "Wow, what's going to happen now?" And then pastor goes, "A reading from the book of the gospel. And we're standing, we're singing. This is crazy. And he begins to read out of the New Testament, reading the gospel. And all of a sudden, the tears start flowing down my face. And I'm like, "Unbelievable." And Sal goes, "Are you okay? Something wrong?" I said, "No." I said, "You won't believe how happy I am." I said, "Do you do this every week? You read four scriptures, four readings?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Really?" You know. And that was kind of my introduction to the Mass. And I left that day not knowing that my journey would eventually lead me to this. Which is amazing. The Mass is so rich. It's just incredible. And I have the section today to talk about the liturgy of the word. Thus my prop, okay? What is this? Table, very good. You're awake, I'm glad. It's a table. I want you to think about, and I've read this in talking about the Mass, and at the Mass there's like, not so much just one, this beautiful altar, but there's really two tables. And this table here represents the liturgy of the word. When you realize what the liturgy of the word means, we're being nourished, we're being fed by scripture and by the word of God. So when you think about the liturgy of the word, next time think about this other table and how we're being brought up to the table to be nourished by the word. Of course, the first reading, as you heard me say, it's from the Old Testament, except during the times of Easter. We then change a little bit and talk some more out of the gospel. Then there's a chance for us to respond out of a psalm, and we sing part of it. We talked about the mercy this morning, we were singing. And then in the New Testament, we'll come out of one of Paul's letters of instruction. And usually the readings, most of the time, pretty much are intertwined, there's a thought that flows through them. That for that day. And then we come to the next part. I had the opportunity once, I was invited by my brother-in-law, Sal's brother, to go to a rally where President Bush was going to be in attendance. And it was at Fort Meigs in Perrysburg. And it was a hot summer day, and we went to Fort Meigs that day, had to go through, thank God we don't have to do that here, we had to go through those, you know, those electronic things and be shocked, and we're carrying it, couldn't bring umbrellas or anything, and went in and we found ourselves inside Fort Meigs. And there was a platform across the back. And of course the president wasn't there yet, but there was this anticipation about him coming and seeing the president, and we were fairly close. And I was excited about that. And we waited, and finally we heard through the crowd, he just landed at the airport, you know. And the excitement got a little bit more. And then finally, when the moment came, after waiting, and they announced, and I'd like to introduce to you the President of the United States, the place went crazy. It doesn't matter what you claim party-wise or whatever, but if you've ever been to a thing where the president is there, all that disappears. Because it's such a neat, neat feeling to be there and, you know, with, see the person who we call the president. And the place went nuts, you know, and he clapped and cheered and roared and he cheered that. I couldn't tell you what he said, but I remember the emotions being there, standing and seeing the president. That's kind of like what goes on with the Gospels and the liturgy of the Word. We start making our way through the Word. We are so blessed, so blessed, so blessed, and that Mass is not a thing we do. Mass is something we encounter. It's something that we come to encounter God Almighty, and we encounter Him in His Word. We're not just hearing about God. We're not hearing things. We're actually having God speak to us. He's speaking to us, especially when it comes to the Gospel. And like that day with President Bush, we rise. We sing hallelujah, and then the book, the gospel, is brought forth in honor, and, you know, we venerate it when I'm done, and then we, you know, proclaim, and we stand and listen, because what it means is God is talking to us, talking to our hearts. That's why it's likened to a table, because God is speaking to us. He's feeding us. He's giving a chance to encourage our heart. It says in the Word, it says, I hide the words, your words in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And when we get the Word within our hearts and we capture it and it's part of us, then when those moments get so difficult and horrendous that we don't know what to do, we can go to the Word within us and grab it and claim those promises that God has made to us, us as believers. And there's the gospel, and then we move into the next part, which is the homily. And most of you probably could talk about homilies and the effect on you, but the word homily is not a big, fancy Greek word. It's not some fancy, long thing. It's an absolute honor for me that I have the privilege as a deacon to give the homily, but all the word homily means is this: explanation. It's a time of explanation where Father and I are given a chance to share. Trust me, we do not, it just doesn't happen since that we just get up here and talk. There is time spent in prayer. There's time spent seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, what do you want? Where do you want the people to hear? What's the word that you want to say that day? And so it's an explanation. Sometimes I give good explanations, sometimes I'm sure. But you know, you might hear a little history from us to help bring that word to clarity. Like I said, the liturgy of the Word just doesn't happen. There were men who spent days and weeks together deciding the reading so that they come through the different seasons so that we can experience hearing from God. Then after the homily, we do kind of like the creed. How many of you, I'm sure, I hope you do, I do this day, when you're at an event and we kind of rise up and the national anthem is played, I still get goosebumps. I still sing it because it represents the blessing I have as being an American. Our creed is kind of like that a little bit. It's kind of like our Pledge of Allegiance. It's kind of like our national anthem of believers. You will not find the creed in the Bible. There's no verses or whatever, but it's been written for us that gives us the story of Scripture and what we believe. There's two of them. There's the Apostles' Creed, and there's the Nicene Creed. We're going to do the Apostle Creed in a little bit. And in there is beautifully put together the story of Scripture and what we believe. in times of trouble, if you don't know what to pray, if someone says, by the way, what do you believe? What is the belief? You can say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible. It's there for you. It's kind of like your Pledge of Allegiance. Kind of like, you know, that national anthem of who we are. And the thing about the creed is this. We do it what? Sitting down or standing up? We do it standing up because we are proclaiming what we believe. And we begin with, I believe. And we stand up for a reason. One, so that we can see each other in the room saying it. So that it says to you, I am not alone, because I stand in the sanctuary of a couple hundred people who believe the same thing I do. And there's great strength and there's great unity when you get a body of believers together who believe the same thing. And at that moment in the creed, we are proclaiming what we believe, and our friends and our brothers and sisters around us are. And from that we can draw strength that I'm not alone, because there's other people like me who believe. That's important for us. And then we move into what is called the prayer of the faithful. You all should have this book in your house. This is a reference book. It's not a novel that you can sit and read. Trust me, you'll be bored in the first 10 pages. But it's called the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you don't have this, you need to get it. You can get it anywhere. This particular copy was $9 over at Rieger's. You can get it on Amazon, anywhere. But it's a beautiful breakdown of the beliefs of the Catholic Church. If your kid says, why do we blah, 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 hold on. You can find it in here, trust me, and I'm gonna read one from you. And this is about, it's called Paragraph 2, the Church, the Temple of the Holy Spirit. And I wanna read, and it's numbered, and this is number 783. And this is about the prayer of the faithful, okay? Jesus Christ is the one whom the Father anointed with the Holy Spirit and established as priest, prophet, and king. The whole people of God participate in these three offices of Christ. Did you hear that? Participate in these three offices of Christ and bear the responsibility for mission and service that flows from them. We have a responsibility and we have a call to service from each of those offices. In the prayer of the faithful, we're performing a priestly duty. And that is what? Father Dave, yes, he's a priest. He's in a special order of priests, of men who have given themselves over to the life of serving God. And he's like our spiritual father who helps guide us and feeds us and leads us along the way in our pathway as we journey towards seeing the face of Christ. And during the intercession, remember this, Mass is not something we do. Remember, we don't do it, we encounter. We're encountering him. So during the intercession, we are praying together, interceding together, usually for our country, sometimes for our city, sometimes for a special group of people. Specifically, you'll hear your mention of names of those that have gone on, that remember. And that's an active thing for you to do as believers in the intercession, not just to listen, okay, no, but participate. Oh God, take these prayers. And you say, today you're gonna say, Merciful Father, hear our prayer. Our prayer. Not just me saying it, but all of us. And so the prayer of the faithful is an important function. That is the opportunity for us to lift up our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Trust me, in every Mass, there are people who are in situations, they need our prayer, they need our support, they need our love from us. And so again, let the Mass not be something that you do. Let the Mass be an encounter always, encountering him, so that when you leave here, just as Jesus was transfigured in the gospel, we can be transformed ourselves in our lives because we have encountered his presence. And by the way, if you want to know some more stuff about the Mass, more than, you know, if you're more interested, this is one of the things we did in deacon training. It was our little Bible for a while. It's called the General Instruction of the Roman Missal. Lots of good stuff in here about the Mass and what goes on. Pretty inexpensive. General Instruction of the Roman Missal. If you're interested and want to look at it after Mass come, and I'll be happy to show it to you. God bless you.